good morning, Riverside. Happy Easter to everybody here in our physical location, everyone who's watching as part of our online community. We are so grateful to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together. Y'all, last night I couldn't sleep. I was ready. I believe God's given me a word. I got up at 4:07 a.m. today. Some of y'all were still sleeping for another 4 hours. Don't rub it in. I'll tell you, that's kind of my MO. I'm an early riser. My family, not so much. My family will get up if there's a purpose. Like in a couple months, we're going to Florida on vacation. We're catching an early morning flight. Everybody will be awake that morning. My 17-year-old, he sets 92 alarms every single morning for school, sleeps through all 92 of them. But I'll tell you, on Christmas morning, that boy is up at 4:22 jumping on our beds. Straight Kevin McAllister vibes. On those mornings, he can be up. See, I think as I've been studying God's word in preparation of this morning, there's a woman named Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was an early riser. When you read the account of this weekend from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene is a vital part of that story. Mary was there at the foot of the cross on the crucifixion of Jesus. On Sunday, she was waiting to see what would come, but on Saturday, it went quiet. Saturday was defined by its sadness. Saturday was defined by the stillness until she got to Sunday morning. And as you read in the text, she gets up very early on Sunday. She makes her way to the tomb. She brings spices to anoint Jesus's body. See, she had this incredible relationship with Jesus. She was devoted to Jesus. She had great compassion towards her Savior. Why? Because when you read earlier in the gospel account, Mary was once possessed by 7 demons, and Jesus healed her. And because of that, from that moment on, she was a part of Jesus's ministry. She provided for him. She had deep compassion towards him, and that all leads up not only in life, but also in death. See, today we're going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. It says, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead just as he said it would happen. Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you.'" Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning. Today, I want to preach to you a message over the next few minutes simply entitled, "The Dawning." See, the dawn is the first part of the day. It's when what happens right before the sunrise, when there's just a little bit of morning outside. See, the dawn, a new morning, is a reminder that no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what you struggled with last night, that the morning is a new chapter. It's a new beginning. Can I speak into somebody's life right now? I don't know what the last week has looked like. I don't know what the last couple of days has felt like. But can I say to you today, the day is a new day. Today is the next chapter. Today is the dawning. God wants to speak a new word to you. See, when you look at this, there's something about the morning. See, Mary and the rest of Jesus's followers were baffled. Everything they thought they had known has now disappeared. Their rabbi has died. Everything, their situation just seems hopeless. Hopeless situations. Maybe some of you can identify with that this morning. Here we are, another Easter alone. Another Easter without the baby that you so desperately desire. Another Easter battling depression. Another Easter with the addiction that continues to rattle your body, and you get to this place, will it ever end? Will there ever be a next chapter for my life? See, you need to know that the darkness envelops. The darkness surrounds us. See, the devil loves us to get to believe that it will always be this way. Darkness ensnares. Darkness makes us want to stay in bed. Darkness makes us say, hey, quit even praying. It doesn't even do any good. Darkness makes us no longer want to read our Bible, because what good is the promises of God? That's good for somebody else, but it's not good for me. See, darkness makes us not even want to come to church, because nothing can happen, because I just go further and further into the darkness. But can I tell you today, spoiler alert, I want to preach a message of hope. Today on this Easter Sunday, I don't want you to leave the same way that you walked in. See, it says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 30, verses 4 through 5, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. See, there's something about the morning. It doesn't mean that our problems disappear, but the love of Jesus is there to sustain us. See, there's something about the morning when we give our heart and life to Jesus. He's the one that's there to protect us. He's the one that's there to provide for us. He's the one that's there to give us peace and comfort and affection. See, you only need to read through the account of Holy Week. The darkness of Friday was replaced by the brightness of Sunday. Can I tell somebody today, a new day is coming. No matter your situation, no matter your season. See, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is so often referred to as the light. John the Baptist is telling all the believers, and he says, there is soon going to be coming the true light. The one that shines light on everyone. Get ready. And sure enough, right on cue, Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus calls his first disciples. Jesus performs his very first miracle at a wedding, changing water into wine. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't like a party, yo. Jesus goes on to begin teaching. He begins ministering. You see, in John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. See, you need to know, Jesus' words come immediately after his encounter with a woman caught in adultery. Now, the word caught, we don't know for sure really entirely what that means, but it shows that this woman was with someone, perhaps in a compromising position, with someone who was not her husband. The religious leaders of the day see this, they catch her, and they bring her towards Jesus. And they pick up stones, because the punishment for adultery back in biblical times was she would be stoned to death. And they bring her in front of Jesus and they say, Jesus, here she is. What should we do? And Jesus, being only Jesus, says, whichever one of you has never sinned, let you cast the first stone. And I believe it's just a symphony of drop rocks in that moment. Because none of those religious men could stand there and say, we've never sinned. And Jesus comes close to the woman and he says, daughter, go. Go and sin no more. It's a beautiful moment. See, when the light of Jesus comes into our lives, it's not for him to expose your lack. It's actually for you to experience his love. Amen. When Jesus comes close, it is not for you to be exposed, but that you would experience his love like never before. See, he's not a God of condemnation. He's actually a God of compassion. See, if you take nothing else away today, is that Jesus went to the cross. He died for you. 3 days later, he rose again out of love for me and out of love for you. See, this whole idea of Jesus being the light continues into John chapter 12, picking up in verse 46. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. Did you catch it? Jesus came not to judge you, but to save you. Not for you to remain in the darkness, but that you may experience the light of Jesus once and for all. See, John 8 and John 12 are incredible bookends. John 8 is all around this woman caught in the act of adultery, but John chapter 12 is some of Jesus's final teaching before he's about to be betrayed. Betrayed by one of his disciples, betrayed by one of his best friends. See, he says all of this as a reminder of the love of Jesus no matter what we've done. He loves us in spite of what we've done in the past and despite what we're going to do in the future. See, for every single one of us, you need to experience the love of Jesus. See, Jesus died for both the adulterous woman. Jesus died for Judas. Jesus died for them. And dare I remind you today, Jesus died for you. See, it wasn't the wrath of God that sent his son Jesus to the cross to save the world. It was actually the love of God that sent his son Jesus to the cross to save the world. It wasn't to condemn you. It was actually to love you. See, that's the hope today, that when we make mistakes, when we fall short, that Jesus is there every single step of the way. That is good news. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. See, I think it's sometimes when we look back over the trajectory of the global church over the last 25 years, dare I say at times, we haven't preached the good news. We've actually preached some guilt-filled news. We bring people together and we start to talk about your sin. And if we're not careful, church, we will bring people in and you will feel even worse about yourself than when you walked in. That's not God's intent. God's intent is to bring you close, to preach truth, to hear it. And sometimes, dare I say, that sometimes God convicts us. God convicts us in terms of preaching sometimes and reading of God's word, having men and women of God that sometimes reveal things in our life. See, God's heart, yes, sometimes to convict us, but never to condemn us. So you go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, it lays out the entirety of the good news. It says that number one, Jesus was descended from David. He died a death on the cross. He defied the grave. And can I tell you, he's devoted to you today. Despite your sin, despite your past, despite what you walked in today, Jesus is devoted to you. See, your disrespect is not greater than his devotion. Your deceit in life is not greater than his devotion. Can I tell you, your disappointment in life is not greater than his devotion to you. Your depression is not greater than Jesus' devotion to you. He sees you. He loves you in the midst of whatever you're walking through right now. That is the love of Jesus. That is the story of Easter Sunday. See, there's a moment in the Old Testament book of Psalm, David is the writer, and David is in this sacred place from the time of King Saul has died, and now David is waiting until he is appointed as the next king of Israel. He writes the words to Psalm chapter 18, and Psalm 18 over the last month has become a foundational text in the life of our church. And I know we have so many people that are here today, and maybe you're not a part of our church family. Maybe you're just passing through. Maybe somebody gave you the invite. And today, I can't let you leave today without sharing the words of what David crafted in Psalm 18 to speak into your life today. It says in verse 16, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. See, that's our story. Those of us who know Jesus, it says that he drew me. He took me out of the pit. He led me to a place of safety. He reached down. He rescued me. He saved me and he supported me. Why? Because he delights in me. See, you need to know that Jesus died for you and he delights in you. Dare I say he dislikes your sin, but he's delighted in you. See, sometimes we have to take a look at where we're headed, where we're going in life. See, you may have been damaged by people, but Jesus delights in you. You may have been destroyed by decisions, but Jesus is delighted. You may have been devastated in life, but can I remind you today, Jesus delights in you. When he looks down from heaven, he says, "That's my son, that's my daughter. I know them by name, and I delight in them." He delights in you today. So you feel confused, overwhelmed. You feel stuck today. Some of you have come in here, and Michael, that's a word for somebody else, but you need to know what I'm walking through right now is even too big for Jesus. The devil has tried to get you to believe that quit praying, quit showing up, quit reading the word of God. Why? Because what you're walking through right now is too big for Jesus. Can I remind you what it says in Matthew chapter 28, that the resurrection was announced by an earthquake. The earthquake didn't cause the moving of the stone. The moving of the stone caused the earthquake. See, it's another reminder for us of the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. When Jesus shows up, when Jesus comes on the scene, anything can happen. You may feel it's too big for you, but it's not too big for Jesus, yo. It's not too big for Jesus. He wants to be invited into your story today. See, you go ahead and continue to read on in Matthew 28, picking up in verse 8, it says, "The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" See, the women were afraid, and Jesus said, "Don't be frightened." See, I think it's a beautiful reminder for any of us that are walking through an overwhelming season. That when we get to this place of, when we come to times of terror, sprint to your Savior. May we take our marching orders from what these women did. It says they ran, they grasped, and they worshiped. See, in those times of hardships, when those times when all things come against you, don't run away from Jesus, run to Jesus. Run there. He's the arms that are going to hold you. He's the arms that are going to support you. He's the arms that are going to lift you up. And when you run to Jesus, grasp on tight to him. Grasp on tight to him. Don't let him go, because Jesus is going to be the one that's going to sustain you no matter what you're walking through in real time. Jesus said, "I'm going to be there." And while you wait at the feet of Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to worship. We're going to worship. See, if that's new to you, what does it mean to worship? It means to lay everything down at the feet of Jesus. It's to surrender everything. See, some of you walked in today and you're like, you're looking around and you're like, "This church is weird. Why are they raising their hands?" See, that's an act of surrender. It's an act of submission. See, I don't know about you, but I've had a really crappy week. And yes, we say crappy around these parts. Been a really difficult week. And as we've navigated through what this looks like in our church and on our staff and in my family, I've continued to go back to what these women did. I've ran to Jesus. I've held on tight to him and I've worshiped. See, sometimes when I don't know what else to say, when I don't know what else to do, can I tell you what I do? I worship my Savior. I remember his sacrifice on the cross for me. I'm grateful that Good Friday wasn't the end of the story. It was actually the beginning of the story. Because we knew that Jesus was going to come back just a few days later. He was going to resurrect, and he was going to come back to sort this whole thing out. See, that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. See, they ran, they grasped, and they worship Jesus. See, in those moments, you will experience the light of Jesus. I don't know about you, but growing up every single night, as my mom tucked me into bed, she would turn off the lights and then she would go to the foot of my bed and turn on my Superman nightlight. Why? Because your boy was scared of the dark until he was 14, yo. See, but every night when my mom would go and turn on that light, it changed my bedroom. It changed the environment. See, when you experience the light of Jesus, what starts to happen? It starts to change your home. It starts to change your marriage. It starts to change your parenting. It starts to change your kids. It starts to change your neighborhood. See, when you experience the light of Jesus, don't be surprised when it starts to change your workplace, your college campus, your school, your nonprofit, your business. When the light of Jesus comes on, anything can happen. See, when there's a devoted group of believers that are coming together that have experienced the light of Jesus, there is no telling how we can change this city. There's no telling how a committed group of believers that are shining the light of Jesus will change this nation. Dare I say, it will change the world for Jesus. See, Rach and I were talking yesterday, and every 3 or 4 days, we say, we're just getting off social media. People are weird. Can't read any more of this stuff, and I see Christians, people that I know, people that should know better, and they just post some crazy stuff. Talk about the world ending. Talk about all the stuff that's going on in the world. And you know what? Sometimes I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit because I want to go in the comments and be like, just go get a journal, yo. Write it down in a journal. Call a friend. Go to therapy, yo. Because see, when we experience the light of Jesus, we are no longer overwhelmed by the darkness, but we will overcome the world through the light of Jesus. See, we gotta stand up straight. We gotta know who God has called us to be. We can't keep hiding in the darkness. No, we step into the light. Why? Because that's who Jesus has called us to be. See, some of y'all right now, you see the team coming out like, this is the shortest message he's ever preached, yo. I don't know where we're going. I'm just going, yo. I'm going to be early today. Some of y'all got some brunch plans. But you see, as you go back to Matthew chapter 4, earlier in this text, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah, in the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, to the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadows, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. See, this is the start of Jesus' ministry. What I read to you right now is the first message that Jesus ever preached. This was before even the Sermon on the Mount. See, what did Jesus say? Repent of your sins and turn to God. See, the first message is the foundational message for every single one of us. Unless we repent of our sins, unless we come into a relationship with Jesus, unless we accept the free gift of salvation, dare I tell you, there's only two options. People will try to tell you in 2024 that when you die, there's 23, there's 24 different places, different things that can happen to you. Some people look at life like I look at a Cheesecake Factory menu. You ever been to a Cheesecake Factory? 192 choices on that menu. See, we start to think that there's 192 things that can happen when I die. No, there's two. Don't get it twisted today. There are two things that happen when you die, either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. That's what it comes down to. Eternity in heaven, it says, no more pain, no more tears, unrelenting peace. But the flip side, eternity in hell, it's all pain. So many tears. No peace whatsoever. See, for every single one of us, we've got to get to the place, we've got to make a decision. Where are we headed? Because I'd love to say that all y'all are going to be back next week as we kick off this series. I'd love to see y'all 12 months from now on Easter Sunday 2025. But the reality is, life can happen. Life can change just like that. It says in the Bible, life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Over the last 12 months, I've sat with our church family. I've sat with so many of you that have dealt with unbelievable loss, unexpected loss. I never thought my husband was gonna pass away so soon. I didn't know that my mom was gonna be gone and I wouldn't have another 20, 25 years with her. I didn't know my child wasn't going to be there with me for another Easter. See, life is fleeting. Life can change just like that. See, each and every one of us, when Jesus is talking about repenting, I think it's a three-part process of repentance. Number one, for some of us today, we have to recognize. We have to recognize that Jesus isn't the Lord in my life. I have to recognize that I've never invited him into the story. Yeah, I know all about Easter. I've heard about it, but I've never fully recognized that Jesus isn't my Savior. I've never invited him in. See, I first got to recognize. Secondly, I got to reject. I got to reject the enemy's control over my life. I've got to put my foot down and say, no more, devil. You will not have control of my life. You're taking me to places I never anticipated going. It's recognizing, it's rejecting, and then it's readjusting. See, when I give my heart and life to Jesus, spoiler alert, you're not going to be able to do what you once did. You're not going to be able to go to the places you once went to. Not gonna be able to hang out with some of the same people that you used to hang out with. You're not gonna be able to watch the things you used to watch. You're not gonna be able to talk the way that you once talked. Because I'm readjusting. I'm coming to Jesus. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Step out of the darkness and step into the light. That's the invitation today for every single one of us. See, this week, in addition to all the other stuff that was going on, I got done preaching on Sunday and I got back home and my left eye was just throbbing. And the next couple of days, it was just bothering me over and over again. And I knew what this weekend was gonna look like. I knew it was gonna be busy. And so I called an eye doctor, I didn't think I'd ever been to. And I shared what was going on, and the lady on the phone said, do you still live at 1500 St. James Place, apartment 4? And I was like, not since college. And she said, okay. And I said, ma'am, I don't live there anymore. That's where I once was when I was 21 years old. That was 25 years ago. I look good, yo. What started to happen is, as I'm on the phone with this woman, it took me back to 21-year-old Michael. And I started to think of what my life looked like back then. To all y'all who love me today, you would have hated me back then. And I started to think of what God has done in my life. He's moved me. He's molded me, not into a perfect man, but a progressing man. That even those times where I got off track, dare I say, that Jesus was pursuing me even then. See, can I tell somebody today, your delays are not your destiny. Your failures are not final. Your past mistakes are no match for for God's present mercy. See, when the devil comes, when the devil comes and tries to remind you of your past, when the devil comes and tries to remind you of your mistakes, when the devil comes and tries to remind you of your sin, you speak back to him, I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. God is doing something new in me. See, the same thing that God has done in me over the last 25 years, he wants to do in you. See, I don't know the journey you've been on. I don't know the journey that Jesus wants to take you on. I never thought that 21-year-old Michael would one day turn into 46-year-old Pastor Michael. One part of my journey blows my mind that in my 21-year-old drunken state, treating women so terribly, being disrespectful to my mom and my dad, I never knew that God would clean me up and God would put me on a path that on an Easter Sunday, all these years later, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. See, it said, where do we start today? Early Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning. Can I say to somebody today, this is your Sunday morning. This is your new day. Today is the dawning. Today changes everything. You're going to leave differently than you walked in today. And today I just want to take a moment. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, Michael, when you talk about this decision to invite Jesus into my life, an eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. If I'm honest with you, Michael, I don't know that I'm gonna make it to heaven. I don't know that I've ever put my faith and trust fully in Jesus. Can I tell you, today is the most beautiful opportunity to do that. Today is the most beautiful invitation to do that. Or maybe you were like your pastor. One day you followed Jesus so closely, but through hardships, through circumstances, you walked away from Jesus. But can I tell you, Jesus never walked away from you. Jesus was constantly and has been constantly pursuing you over and over again. And today, I don't want to miss this moment on this Easter Sunday 2024 for you to know without a shadow of a doubt, if life were to end today, where you would end up, an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. And if you're sitting here today and say, Michael, I'm not sure. Michael, I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If it all ended today, dare I think I would end up in hell, and today I want to be bound for heaven. If that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, will you just raise your hand today, Michael? I want to invite Jesus into my situation. I want to invite Jesus into my life. I don't know what's happened in the past all over this place. Raise your hand if that is you today, because this is a new beginning. This is a new start. And here's what I want you to do. Everybody with your hands raised right now, I want you to get up and I want you to come meet me here, right here at the altar. And you're saying, well, I've done this 16 times. So did your boy. If you knew my life, can we celebrate?